Amen. I love that chaos. I really do. That's really cool. You guys are awesome. Thank you for that. Now, there's one more thing that you get to do. So after the service, so we're going to wait about 5-10 minutes. Some of you are going to want to run up here. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take these shoe boxes, stack them in rows so that we can count them. So stacks of five. And then we're going to cartonize our own boxes. And so we need some help with that. So I shouldn't promise you. If you stay and cartonize and there's no bagels, I'll go buy you a bagel. Okay? I'll go buy more. All right? So I was going to promise you there was bagels over there. I'm sure there will be. I don't know. We always have enough. So don't, if you're over there because you're not cartonizing, you get one bagel. And that's all you get. You only get one. Don't eat five. One bagel. If you're cartonizing and then there's still bagels, you can eat as many as you want. Okay? Makes sense? So that's right after the service. About 5-10 minutes, I'll announce it, and then we'll stack them, or I'll give you instructions. We'll make actually a line, and we'll just hand them down the line and all that kind of good stuff. All right? Good stuff. All right. So we have been, over the last few weeks, talking about building grace, right? And we've specifically been talking about how God is using us and calling us to do that. So I've told you every week our mission statement, which is we're well-grounded in to exalt Christ and to point others to him. That's what we're called to do, right, as a church. We're called to exalt Christ and to point others to him, and that's really our heart's desire. I believe that for the large area of our church, that's what we desire to do. We desire to truly exalt Christ in everything we do, and we desire to point others to him. That's what we want. Our motto here is a place to call home. And I love the videos. If you were there Sunday night, some of those, and we might show those again at some point, but some of those people who, one of them, I forget who it was, went, said, you know, that's just an understatement, a place to call home, because that's just who we are. You know, and we really are family as a church of Jesus Christ, and we love that. We love each other, and so that's a lot of fun. But one of the things we don't talk often about, although I do somewhat, is our vision statement. Our vision statement is how we do the mission. In other words, how are we going to accomplish the mission to exalt Christ and to point others to him? And we're only going to do that if we are a Holy Spirit-empowered movement of God on mission to multiply his kingdom. And so for the last 2 weeks before now and then this week, we've been talking about this. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about being a Holy Spirit-empowered movement of God. That we, just like these shoeboxes, right? Just like we talked about that, we can pack a shoebox, we can deliver a shoebox, and giving a kid that doesn't have much a gift is a beautiful thing, right? It's not like it's, I don't want to minimize that. That's a beautiful thing. But we don't do it just to give a kid a gift who doesn't have anything. We do it to give Jesus to a kid, right? To bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a child. That's why we do it. And so we get that opportunity to do that because we want, because if the Holy Spirit ain't in it, then it's just about man's movement, and we can have some temporary success, but it won't be eternal. And we want eternal things here, right? So that means we've got to be a Holy Spirit-empowered movement of God, constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit, constantly allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of us, that we don't move in our natural tendencies, which I don't know about you, but my natural tendencies aren't great, right? I need to move in the Spirit of God. And then last week we talked about, oh, keep that up. Put that back. I was looking at it. Thank you. There you go. We were talking about being on mission. And we gave our mission verse from Colossians about the fact that the only answer to the hope that's out there is Christ in us. Not Christ among us, not Christ with us, but Christ in us. That's what saves us. And so because of that, we preach Jesus. And so we need to be on mission all the time. Right? So today we're going to take just a few minutes. I know some of you are already worried. You're looking at the clock and you're saying, Pastor's talking and that means you're going to be here a long time, and you probably will. But but that last little bit of that, right? Oh, put it back up there, guys. Sorry, that's my fault. We're on mission to multiply his kingdom. You get that? We're in mission to multiply or to build, not our kingdom, not our church, not our whatever. You know, well, we got more property and, you know, we want to take over the whole block or anything. You know, like we want something so that people will see us and see how good of a church and how big of a church and how nice of a church so that we can get more people, so that we can have more things, so that we can have more. That's not what we're about. I mean, would we love to minister to more people? Absolutely. Would we love more people means that we get to reach out more. So, all right, so we're all, that's good, right? As a matter of fact, if we're a healthy church, we're reproducing. We're reproducing. Some of those people on that video accepted Jesus Christ while coming to Grace Gospel Church. Praise the Lord. Right? And so that's what we want to be about, right? So this understanding that we're about God's kingdom, not about our kingdom. That we're about God's kingdom, not about our kingdom. And so as we look at that, I just wanted to look at a verse today. And we're going to look at it quickly. So if you would, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to talk about my second favorite verse today. All right. And I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And to be honest, this was just this morning I looked at it. I looked at if you have the New American Standard, if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the row somewhere in front of you or underneath you. If you don't have a Bible at home, take those home. We'd love for you to have that. But at my New American Standard, I love it because it talks about the temporal and the eternal. That's how chapter 5 is labeled. The temporal and the eternal. And that's exactly perfect of what we're talking about. We don't want the temporal. We want the eternal. That's what we want. And so that's what this is about. Because the only thing that will last for life is the kingdom of God. You know that, right? Jesus said he came to build his kingdom, to show that the kingdom of God is here. It's not about us. It's about him. It's not about our kingdom. It's about his kingdom. Like we don't like form our own little kingdoms. We join into in Christ through faith and understanding that he has died for us, and we accept that as our sacrifice for sin. We join into his kingdom. We become a member of his kingdom, a member of his family for that. And so as we even talk about building grace, we're really talking about building the kingdom. About building God's kingdom, because that's what we need to be about. And so, again, real quick, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's talk about some things that it does here. I think first it talks about the motivation that we can have or the motivation, what should motivate us to build his kingdom, right? So our motivation for building his kingdom. And I love this. Look at verse 14 first. It says this. The love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. So just that little section, for the love of Christ controls us. I want you to just sit in that for a second. The love of Christ controls us. John, the writer John in 1 John 4, 9, it's 19, it's clearly given to us that we love because God first loved us. Right? So the love of Christ, which he has brought down and shown to us, we have. Right? If we're in Christ, then we ought to have the love of Christ in us. Does that make sense? This is really logical here, right? And that means that we love the things that God loves, and that means people. Right? You know, a lot of you love this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, right? My favorite verse, we don't have it up there, but Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God did something in love, right? So we need to have the love of Christ in us, which means that we love the people we look at, because everybody we look at is loved by God. That's really tough because some of us have some people that aren't very lovable in our lives. Is that right? Can I get an amen? This is true, right? I mean, we're people. By the way, we're not lovable to some people. because we're people. And people are just like that. But you know what? We're loved by God. We're loved by a holy and eternal Father. We don't deserve that love, right? We know that. Matter of fact, what we deserve is an eternity in hell away from him. And that would be our end except for the grace of God which reaches out to us through Jesus Christ dying on a cross for us. That we would have life. That we would have not just life for, like we talked about earlier, for a moment, but eternal life. How cool is that? That's the love of God that's in us that needs to be reflected in us, that we need to have. It needs to motivate us to be about his kingdom. So with that, look at what it says, because right there in verse 14, it's not only the love of Christ, but it's the knowledge of salvation. Now, when I say that, well, let's get to this. Verse 14, it says this. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So we understand, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're in the kingdom, if you will, you understand that there is no other way for there to be life for anybody except through Jesus Christ. I mean, you might know some really great people. You might know some really nice people. People who have loved on you. You know, grandmas can be that way. We always love our grandma, right? Grandma always gets high billing. You know, moms never really get high buildings, but grandmas do. Why? Because they've already wasted, you know, spent all their energy on their kids, and now all that's left is love for their grandchildren. And then they get to send them home. You know, they get to sugar them up, spoil them, and then send them home. Praise the Lord. Amen, grandmas and grandpas, right? Woohoo! Hallelujah. Right? But we understand we're never going to share the gospel with passion. If we are not absolutely convinced that the gospel is true and that there is no other way to heaven and that Christ died for all. I love what J.D. Greer said when I started 2 weeks ago. I gave this quote. He said, the church at its inception was essentially a movement. A movement built around conviction that Jesus had died as the only Savior for sinners and that he had risen from the dead, proving who he said he was and that he was the rightful Lord of the earth, and all people everywhere were now commanded to repent and invited to come home to him. Outside of Jesus, there's only death. Outside of Jesus, there is only death. As a matter of fact, outside of Jesus, you are already dead, Scripture says. Ephesians chapter 2, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Matter of fact, John 3:17, right? For God so loved the world, John 3:16. John 3:17 says he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save it through him. Why? Because the world's already condemned. See, you don't have to work toward death, you're already there. And because of that, you can't work toward life because your sin separates you from God. So, you know what's left? There's only one thing left, and that's grace. The grace of God. The love of the Father and the fact that he has died and come that we might have life in Christ. And so we understand that. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. Paul says, I'm not ashamed to share the gospel because it's the only way to salvation. It's the only way to salvation. So I've often said this, if we're not sharing the gospel, which is why Thursday night we did a presentation simply on the simple gospel message. If you weren't able to be here, there are some outlines. It's Evangelism Explosion. It just goes through a clear-cut outline of the gospel. take each of those colors. One's a shorter outline, one's a longer outline. If you have questions, you come back. It's just a clear, because we rarely get to the point of the gospel. But it's the gospel that saves. I mean, there's a lot of other theology to talk about, a lot of other things to talk about. The only question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? And so that needs to motivate us. And I've said, you know, so if we're not sharing the gospel, there might be one of two things not true of us. Either we don't have the love of the Father in us, or we're not convinced that the gospel, that Jesus Christ, you know, and his sacrifice is the only way to know salvation, to have salvation. Now, I get it. There's a third point, and that is we're lazy and self-consumed and self-focused. But maybe that's the love of God thing, right? I don't know. I mean, listen, we all struggle with that, including myself. But what needs to motivate us, one, is the love of God. The love of God needs to control us to the knowledge of God. If that happens, then what will motivate us is that we will see with a new perspective. And we will see with a new perspective. Look at verse 16. He said, because of these truths, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him in this way no longer. In other words, even though we had known him personally, that wasn't our salvation. Now we know him according to the Spirit, right? There's a new creation there. See, and that gets back to that thing of God's the only way to salvation, that God's just not about trying to improve you. Sometimes we think that, right? I'm gonna accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because there are some things that I need to change in my life and I need to get better. God's not interested in just improving you. He's interested in creating something new there. There's a great example. A writer, I don't know where this is from, but he said, Lindsey Clegg was a businessman who was selling a warehouse property he owned. He said the building had been empty for months and needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors, smashed the windows, strewn trash all over the interior. As he showed a prospective buyer the property, Lindsey promised that he would replace the broken windows, bring in a crew to correct any structural damage, clean out the garbage. He said, but the buyer said this. He said, forget about the repairs. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I want the site. So this writer says this. God didn't come into your life to rescue you because he liked the building you've made. He wanted the site. He wanted you so that he could build an entirely new building there. Something beautiful. Something we could never have built. People who try to improve their own lives so that God will accept them are like people sweeping a warehouse that is slated for a wrecking ball. It's pointless. See, God creates new. That's why one of our points is that we want transformation, not just transaction. We don't want just people to come to church. We want them to be completely changed. Transformed, not by us, but by the gospel of Jesus and by Christ in their lives. And because we can see with a new perspective that we don't judge according to the outward, well, that's a really nice person. You know what a really nice person who doesn't know Jesus, you know what their future is? Hell. Think of the nicest person you know. If they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to hell. Well, that's not fair. Oh, yes, it is. They've sinned. And they deserve hell. That's why we bring them the gospel, because they need life. All right, and then finally, that motivation, the newness of life. Look at what it says in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, it all builds on each other. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation or a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Sorry. How cool is that? Right? The newness of life. That's that transformation. We're not about, see, so get this progression. The love of Christ controls us. Right? The understanding that the gospel is the only way. So therefore, we need to see with a new perspective. We don't look at people according to their outward We look at what's inside. And there's only two kinds of people in the world, ultimately. Those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and those who don't. That's it. I don't care what kind of colors you wear. I don't care what team you root for. There's only two teams. And here's the good news, is that the invitation is to get out of the death team to come to the life team. And we have the answer to that. All right? So, because of that, God's given us a ministry to build his kingdom. Our ministry in building his kingdom is this. Look at verse 18. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I don't know if you think that's cool. I think that's cool. I know most of us would rather that the trees would cry out because they can, right? Or the rocks would cry out because they can. But God's chosen that that won't be the way that people hear about Jesus. He doesn't need for that to happen. He has his church. And church, we're called to preach the gospel. We're called to speak Jesus to a dying world. That's our ministry. It's the ministry of reconciliation. So get this. I need to have and be controlled by the love of Christ, but I don't have the ministry of Christ. I'm not going to die for them so that their sins are covered. That's already been done. Jesus took care of that. My ministry, though, is a ministry of Jesus, where I bring Jesus to others so that they can be reconciled to their God. All right, what does that mean? Look at verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them as he had committed. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's our ministry. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm not good at it. Well, welcome to the team. I'm not good at it. You're not good at it. We're all not good at it. And yet God still chose us to do that. Like, why would he do that? You ever wonder? I mean, because God doesn't need you and I. Are we right? God doesn't need us. And yet God's chosen that we would be his mouthpiece to the world. We would be chosen reflectors. Matter of fact, when we talked on earlier in 2 Corinthians, we talked about the fact that we're just clay pots. And much of us are like this clay pot. We're broken. Right? We're broken. And we're called to be reflectors in the verse before this, in the chapter, I'm sorry, before this chapter 4. We're called to be reflectors of God. But I don't know about you, but a clay pot doesn't reflect anything very much, does it? And yet we're called to do that. We're called to be a reflector of God's light so that they will see Jesus. And I love this. Look back just on a page. I mean, I have it on the board too. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Why would he have it? Verse 7 says this. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Sorry, this is verse 7. It's not verse 8. I don't know why I changed the date. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power of God will be of God, not of ourselves. So I love that. God calls us broken, bad reflectors to reflect his image so that when they see Jesus in us, we can't take the credit. It's God's and his power in us. How cool is that? It's not about us, it's about him. But make no mistake, he's called us to be the reflector. So our excuses of the fact that I'm not a great reflector, which I understand you're not, I'm not either. But the point is that he is able to shine in and through us out to others. And so we shine. We shine for him. As a matter of fact, in the book before, 1 Corinthians, don't put this up there yet. Let me read it, and then I'll tell you when to put it up here. Because I'm going to read a few verses before. Verse 27 says this. I don't know if this makes you comfortable, and that doesn't feel good. Just listen. I don't have it on the board. Listen. God chose the foolish things. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. You know who he's talking about here? Us. We're the foolish things of the world. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised things. God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. So he's chosen us who are unable, us who are broken and bad reflectors. He's chosen the weak of the world to shame the wise and to shame the strong. Why? Verse 29, this is what I have on the board here. So that no man may boast before God. Because you know who gets the credit then? God. What I've loved about this piece of property next door is we were praying for the property across the street. Were we? We were praying for a few years for the property across the street. And God said, well, right prayer, wrong place, but that's okay because it's all about me, not about you. And I just love it. I love it. I'm like, yes, God. When we found out that, we approached him, we talked to him, and it just like all went like butter. I mean, just all went like butter. And it was like, God, this is so cool because it's of you. When I met with the elders and deacons and I said, you know, this is the opportunity. What do you guys think? I love it. One of the deacons said, like, it's from God. What are we going to do? What are we going to say? It's from God. See, God gets the credit for that. We weren't smart enough in thinking about it. And like somebody thought about, hey, let's go negotiate. Let's go see. Let's go talk. Let's go talk to the, you know, God. But God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool, right? Our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. I know you don't feel worthy. You're not. I know you don't feel able. You're not. I know you don't feel equipped. You're not. I mean, we're going to try to give you some tools. That's what the EE outline on the back is, right? But that's not because you're able. Some of the best presentations I've given of the gospel of Jesus Christ have fallen on deaf ears. And some of the worst ones resulted in somebody coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But it just didn't flow really well that day because it wasn't about me. Right? It's about God. Praise the Lord. So that means because we have the ministry of reconciliation, we have, which basically is, we have the ministry to build the kingdom. That's our ministry. So therefore, we're ambassadors for God. Right? An ambassador is an official envoy in a foreign land that represents the leadership of the country they are from. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become immediately a saint, a citizen of heaven. Immediately. But you say, well, wait a second, I'm a sojourner. Right, 1 Peter, I'm a sojourner in a foreign land. I'm. This is not my place anymore. America is not your home country, or wherever you're from is not your home country anymore. My home country is heaven. It's not a country, I get that, but you know, all right? But that's my home place. So why am I still here? Because I'm an ambassador for the king, for the real king. And I'm called to represent him in everything that I do. Matter of fact, I'm called to exalt him in everything I do and to point others to him in everything I do. That's what I'm called to do. Praise God. So, I love what Paul does here, because just in case you wonder what the message is, he says there's one message which builds the kingdom of God. There is one message which builds the kingdom of God. Look at verse 21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, become sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. The message of the kingdom, the message that builds the kingdom is not you can have a better life, you know, or get better, or you're going to, if you come to know Jesus, everything will work out better for you. You know, five easy steps to have a more successful life, to live the best life that you can live. I was a very young pastor when there was a system of sermons that came out where they would preach four-week sermons that would build to a thing, and they were all based off of felt needs. And most of our churches in the last 20 years have followed this model. If you start with a felt need that they need, and then you know, sometimes they don't even give a lot of scripture in the beginning, and then you build to something about how God can solve that need. Because really what people are looking out to do is to improve themselves. God's not looking to improve you. He's looking to kill you and then put something better in its place, that which is built of Jesus, that which is not the same but transformed. Like when when a caterpillar spins his cocoon, and what comes out is not a caterpillar, but a moth. A butterfly. Sometimes a moth, and they're nasty, and you just want to swat. But a butterfly that can fly, right? Because he's been metamorphosized. Something like that. Don't worry about it. Don't correct me later. I don't care. Right? Metamorphosis, right? They've gone through metamorphosis. They've changed. God doesn't want you to look the same. He wants you to look like him. Matter of fact, your destiny, Romans 8:29, says that you've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God wants you to look like Jesus. Not have the ministry of Jesus. No, your ministry is to point to Jesus, right? To that. And so we've got to get out of this. We've got to get out of the American thing that we're building our kingdom. You know, you want a better house, you want a better car, you want a better life, you want a better relationship. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You come in the church of Jesus Christ. I mean, the church is, the church gets slammed. The church deals with marriages. The church deals with raising children. The church, you know, teaches you how to do all kinds of things, how to deal with finances and those kind of things. We've had different classes over the last several years on all of those. Raising children, doing finances. I mean, you'll be a better person, but that's not why, right? It's so that you can understand who Christ is, so that you can do it like him, because we're not trying to help you to get better. Our goal is not for you to have enough. Because what's enough to you is not what is enough for God. Get rid of what you desire and fill it with the desire of Jesus Christ. And he will transform you. And you'll look better. And you'll look different. And you'll honor him. And you'll point others to him. We're about the kingdom. We need to be about his kingdom. We need to be about multiplying not us and our likes and our desires, but the things of God. So that when somebody comes into this place, I don't want them to come into this place. When you come in, I hope you love people here. I hope it feels like home and you're so glad to see each other. But ultimately what I hope you see is Jesus. Because if none of you want to look like me, I know that, right? None of you want to look like me. I don't want to look like, we don't need to look like each other, even in our spiritual lives. We want to look like Jesus. Amen? Amen. I got to get ready to play. So Troy's going to come up and he's going to pray. So why don't you guys bow your heads.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for who you are. God, we are thankful for the fact that you call us and you choose us to be your ambassadors. Lord, we don't know why you choose us, but you do. Scripture is very clear. And God, we realize that we are unworthy, incapable of doing that, of being your ambassadors in and of ourselves. Lord, we need you. God, we pray that you would help us, you would guide us, you would lead us in the way of being the ambassadors that you desire for us to be. God, we have a mission here of exalting Christ and pointing others to him. And we can only do that. The way that we do that is that we desire to be a Holy Spirit-empowered movement of God on mission to multiply your kingdom. God, it's not about us. It's not about our kingdom. It's not about this building. It's not about the property across the street. It is about your kingdom and your glory. Lord, we pray that you would keep us and we would stay focused on that truth that would be about you and you alone, that you alone would receive the credit, you alone would receive the glory, and that because you alone can transform lives. Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.